It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It shouldn't really need to be said, should it? I mean, why did he set us free? So that we could be free. I mean, it's not the hardest question in the world. Many years ago, on a family holiday, when I was just a young child, I remember we came across a sheep that had got itself tangled up. I think we're in the Lake District, and the sheep had got tangled up in a wire fence. Its horns were kind of snared, and the wire looked like it was digging into the neck of this sheep. We couldn't walk past. We had to help it, of course. I don't know, this kind of strange compulsion. We have to try and be useful. So we tried to, but it wasn't easy. The ground was slippery. It was a bit muddy. There was barbed wire kind of around the top of the fence. And the sheep was not exactly compliant. It took a fair amount of shoving and twisting and wrenching before finally we released it. Now here's the question. Why did we do that? Why did we do it? Because we wanted the sheep to be free. So it was a little dispiriting when the sheep just moved a few metres up the fence and shoved its head back through again to try and get to the grass on the other side. But putting that to one side, we set the sheep free so it could be free, so it could roam on the hills. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The Lord Jesus Christ saw me and he saw you enslaved and entangled. He saw us in a far worse situation than that sheep with the fence. He saw us burdened by our guilt. He saw us tangled up in the snare of our sinful desires. He saw us entirely unable to help ourselves. And in compassion, he could not walk by. His heart went out to us. He came to die for us. He came for you. He came to be brutally executed with stakes driven through his wrists and his ankles so that you could be freed. Do you remember how Paul put it in 1 verse 4? He gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Now, why did he do that? Well, it's not the hardest question. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He did it because he wants you to be free. I mean, don't you get it? That's the point. The problem is that the Galatians didn't get it. That's the problem. Our first point. Do not surrender the freedom that Christ has won for you. Just look at verse 1. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Stand firm, Galatians. See, they're coming under pressure to give in to these false teachers, to start following the Jewish law, and in particular, for the men at least, to get circumcised. And Paul says, resist them. Don't you see that they are going to take away your freedom? Do not surrender the freedom that was won for you at such a great price. The other week, Susie and I watched the movie version of Les Mis. And if you know the story, it starts at the beginning with Jean Valjean, who's been a prisoner, a slave, for 20 years. It's a terrible life. He is manacled and subject to this kind of barbaric forced labour for 20 years. And he longs to be free. And then the day comes when he is free, he's on parole. And his one overriding desire at that point is not to be made a slave again. And in some ways, that's the nature of the story, how it plays out. But the Galatians, they are running back. Having been set free, it's as though they're running back and putting on the manacles again. They're choosing slavery over freedom. And Paul says, what are you doing? Do not surrender your freedom that was won at such a price. It is for freedom, Christian, that Christ has set you free. Do not surrender it. Prize your freedom. We're not going to look much at verses 7 to 12. I may do them in one of the daily thoughts in a few weeks' time. But can you see how much this freedom matters to Paul? Verse 11. He's willing to be persecuted, to suffer, so that people can experience the freedom of the cross. Verse 12, he is so upset about the false teachers that he wants them to slip with the knife and have an unfortunate accident, which, I mean, it's pretty gruesome. It's a level of intensity that you don't find in many of his other letters. He cares about this freedom. And it distresses him that the freedom is being taken away. So can I ask, do you prize this freedom? People today are desperate for freedom. So much of the obsession about identity and gender and sexuality is at root about freedom. People want to be free. They want to be free from any kind of external control, free to determine themselves, to define themselves. The problem, of course, is that they're looking for the wrong kind of freedom. The best that our society can offer by that kind of freedom doesn't work. You can't throw off all constraints. You can't lose any way that other people can define you. You just end up with a new kind of slavery and the soaring levels of mental health and anxiety and stress seem to reveal that people are feeling as burdened and trapped as ever. This pursuit of freedom hasn't delivered, but Jesus gives freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Friend, could people look at your life and see that what you know is the true freedom that they crave? Could they see that you enjoy a freedom that they've never imagined was possible? Well, to understand what this freedom is, we need to look, of course, at what it's freedom from and what it's freedom for. We freed the sheep from the fence. From the fence for the field so that it could enjoy roaming and grazing again. What did Christ set us free from and what did he set us free for? Well, there's various ways we could answer that, but Paul is going to give us two perspectives in the rest of these verses today. So let's start with freedom from. Our second point, you are freed from the slavery of justifying yourself. That's the nub of the issue, at least in the book of Galatians. You see, there is a default instinct in the human heart that thinks I need to justify myself. I need to establish my own righteousness. That's the word we've kept coming back to. It shows up. It shows up in many ways. Just think about the last time that you were criticised. Maybe especially criticised by someone whose opinion you respect. And do you remember how much that hurt? Notice next time it happens how quick you are to defend yourself, how it niggles with you long after the moment's gone. Why does it matter so much? Because we want to justify ourselves. We want to point to something in ourselves that says, no, we are legitimate, we are valuable. Well, whether they realize it or not, the Galatians are being encouraged to justify themselves. They're being told that to be true disciples, to be truly kosher, they need to take on board the Jewish law. Now, why is that persuasive to them? I mean, if I was told by someone in Morton today that I need to be circumcised, I wouldn't find it a very compelling message. But here's the reason I think we're all susceptible to this kind of teaching. It's because the righteousness that Jesus gives us is invisible. You can't see it, you can't touch it, a lot of the time you don't feel it. What I do feel is my own sin, my own inadequacy. When I feel my own insecurities that I don't measure up, when I'm conscious of my failings, well, at that point, I long to be given something to do that can make me feel legitimate. Something that I can point to that shows that I measure up. And the Galatians are being told that what they need is circumcision. Now, I don't know what it could be for us today. It probably isn't circumcision. It could well be religious rules and rituals. There seems to be this pattern amongst Christians, especially when they've been Christians for a while, that we start to take on board these religious rituals because they make us feel like we're making progress in the Christian life. Many Christians become more religious the older they get. And far too often, I'm sorry to say, it is the Galatian heresy rearing its head. We want something that makes us feel righteous, rather than just taking hold of the perfect righteousness that Christ has given us by faith. The Galatians are feeling a pressure to get circumcised. And Paul says, don't you realize that that is the slavery that you've been freed from? He gives them three reasons to turn away from this slavery. Three problems, three reasons why it's so destructive for them spiritually. Verse 2, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. See, if they are not looking to Christ to justify them, then they want to do it themselves. So that's the problem with circumcision. They want to have something about themselves that makes them justified. It'd be like having a million-pound Ferrari sat on your drive, but you're saying, no, I'm not going to use that because I'd rather walk. Now, maybe you would rather walk. But the point is that at that point, you are relying on yourself, and you can only rely on yourself, no matter how long the journey may be. And in terms of our relationship with God, we're not talking about a leisurely afternoon stroll that we have to undertake. No, leaving the Ferrari on the drive is a massive mistake. Saying that I do not need Christ, that he's of no value to me, is a massive mistake, which is the second problem. Verse 3. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's required to obey the whole law. See, at the top of the Ten Commandments, there isn't some exam rubric that says, attempt any three. You need to do it all, constantly. It is a never-ending demand that's been put upon you. That's the second problem. It's a massive burden. And the third problem, the biggest problem, verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. You've fallen from grace. There's no forgiveness. If you fail, you fail. See, there isn't a pass mark of 50%. There isn't even a pass mark of 90%. If you choose to go the way of the law, Galatians, you need to do it all perfectly and forever. Can you see these three problems that mean that trying to go the way of justifying yourself is slavery? You see, it depends upon you. Christ is of no value to you. What you need to achieve is far beyond you. Like, it is the whole law. You can't just pick and choose the bits you think you can manage. And when you fail, there is no grace. There's no forgiveness. Friend, is it possible that you are still living as a slave? One sign would be that perhaps if you're honest, you are angry with God, because you think that what he expects of you is just unreasonable. Maybe it shows up in a resentment with other people. You feel like their demands upon you are too much, and you're exhausted, and you're fed up. And the problem is that deep down, you're trying to justify yourself. Deep down, you think it's still about you. Hear this message. In Christ, you are freed from the slavery of justifying yourself. But then we need to know what we're saved for. What are we freed for? And maybe this was the reason why the Galatians were vulnerable to this false teaching, because they weren't clear on what it means to live in the freedom that Jesus gives us. Are you? And if someone said to you, what does it actually mean to be a Christian? Do you know what you talk about? Well, look with me at verse 5. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await, by faith, the righteousness for which we hope. Our third point, you are freed for the Spirit's energized life of faith. This is such a brilliant summary of the Christian life. I've read many really helpful books about basic Christian discipleship over the years, and they're so helpful. I hope you've got ones that you've read, ones that you go back to. And there'll be a chapter on reading our Bible, the chapter on praying. And there'll be often a chapter on going to church and sharing our faith. And these are all really important things. But they aren't the heart of the Christian life. The heart of the Christian life is captured by this verse. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. That's a pretty dense sentence. It's a bit wordy, isn't it? But you know what it is to eagerly await something, don't you? We're all, I trust, eagerly awaiting the end of lockdown. The moment when we can open our front doors and actually welcome someone in. Maybe we can hug them, or at least give them a handshake, if that's your preference. I mean, can you imagine it? I suspect you already have imagined it. Because we are longing for that moment when this strange existence is over and we can take on life again as we know it was meant to be. I guess you're daydreaming about it. I guess you're planning. Maybe you've kind of gone online and tried to book a holiday. We are eagerly awaiting the life that we know we're meant to be living. Well, Paul says that the Christian life is about eagerly awaiting the life we're meant to be living. And he describes that as the righteousness for which we hope. You see, when Jesus returns, those who are his will be renewed to become the people that God always meant us to be. We will find that we live the life that we're meant for. We'll be washed clean from our sin forever. You will never again feel that burden of a guilty conscience. You won't battle against the torment of temptation. I don't know what your temptation is, but it'll be gone. You won't feel the need to defend yourself. You won't have this rage to prove yourself. You won't actually care what people think about you because you won't be caught up in yourself. You'll be turned out in love for God and love for others. You won't get irritated or grumpy. You won't get lost in self-pity. You will be good and kind and generous and patient. It'll be an instinct to you all the time. It'll be wonderful. It'll be like recovering from some crippling illness that you'd had so long you'd forgotten what it was like to be well. Jesus has that in store for you. That's what he has won through his death and resurrection. The righteousness for which we hope. It is guaranteed. It's the life that you're meant to be living. As far as God is concerned, it's the life that is yours. You are already justified. That is where you're heading. And God has given me and you, if you're his, the spirit of adoption, so that now we can live in faith, looking ahead to that day when God's verdict becomes my lived experience, when we can actually start living the life that we know we're meant to have. We're longing for the day when we can live the life now that we're meant to have, not in lockdown. Well, far better. We're looking ahead to when we can live the life that we're meant to have in a new creation, free from sin. Now, do you see how wonderful this is? It means that when I'm having a bad day, and to be honest, there's quite a lot of bad days, when I'm feeling irritable, when I'm just quick to be critical or grumpy, or I'm overly sensitive, when everything feels like a criticism, when I'm feeling rubbish, God has given me his spirit. And his spirit says to me, this is not how God sees you. At the cross of Christ, that grumpy, moody, self-pitying Ben Thompson was crucified forever. And the Spirit wants to show me a glimpse of the Ben Thompson that I'm meant to be. The Ben Thompson that will exist forever in the new creation with Jesus, who is fully and perfectly righteous, who is healed from the sickness of sin. He wants me to know that is who I am eternally. He wants to stir up in me an eager longing that believes the promises of God to me in Jesus Christ and says, yes, I'm not who I should be, but one day I will be. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await the righteousness for which we hope. Friends, that is the freedom that Jesus came to give us, a freedom where I'm not trying to prove myself, because I know that actually my future is secure, and one day I will be who I know I should be. Now, we can't manage to live this freedom in our own resources. Left to ourselves, we'll either turn to, when we're feeling rubbish, when we feel aware of our sin, we'll either turn to law to try and make ourselves better, or we'll turn to despair when we realise we can't. But the Spirit makes us people of hope. By the Spirit, we can live the Spirit-energised life of faith. Well, I'm not turned in on myself. I'm not trying to prove myself. I'm not crushed by the fact that I'm not good enough, but I'm turned out to Christ. And then I find the glorious freedom that comes from knowing that Jesus is for me, that he is everything, that he's my righteousness. See, I live by faith in him, and he frees me to love, because I'm not trying to prove myself any longer. I'm not serving myself. I can serve others. It's about him. Friends, this is the freedom that Christ came to give us, the freedom of the Spirit-energized life of faith. So keep in step with the Spirit. Depend upon him. Ask him to stir up in you that eager longing, that hunger for the righteousness that will be given you. Let the Spirit point you to that future day and live in eager expectation that it's coming. And you will taste the freedom that Christ longs you to have. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And we're going to sing about it now in our final song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.